From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. More than 24 major multinational corporations announced a $1 billion effort on Wednesday to tackle plastic waste and pollution. The Alliance to End Plastic Waste includes chemical and plastic manufacturers, as well as retailers and waste management corporations. David Taylor, the president and CEO of Procter & Gamble, is chair of the alliance. But environmental organizations are skeptical of the creators of plastic being sincere in their efforts to reduce pollution and waste. Plastics production is a massive and very lucrative industry and one of the main drivers of fossil fuel use. Plastics are so widely used and discarded in today's world that pollution has devastated our oceans and contaminated our food and water. Yet plastic production and use continues unabated. My guest is Carol Muffett, the president and CEO of the Center for International Environmental Law. Welcome to the program, Carol.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
So first, let's talk about the extent of the problem before we get to this alliance. We know plastics are a problem. People have heard of the enormous plastic contamination of our oceans. Can you give us some statistics? Because these are very grim statistics, and we do need to face them.
Yes, and I think it's not just the oceans. I think it's true that, you know, it's projected that by 2050, plastics will outweigh fish in the sea, which is a remarkable statistic. But I think an even more important thing to understand about plastics is that it's showing up not simply in the oceans, but in our drinking water, in agricultural soils, in bloodstreams, and elsewhere in human bodies and in wildlife. So we are really increasingly living in a plastic planet, and we're only now coming to grips with the consequences of that.
And environmental organizations like yours have for years been calling attention to this waste. I remember the campaign to end the use of plastic microbeads in cosmetics, and corporations have generally been very slow to respond. There's also been not enough regulation, and this is a global issue, so there's sort of piecemeal regulation based on what country you're in. How has the industry actually responded to pressure around pollution and waste before this alliance was announced?
I would say that the answer to that is slowly and reluctantly. Our own research demonstrates that the producers of plastic waste were aware as early as the 1960s that plastics were accumulating in the environment, and aware soon thereafter that plastics tended to attract other manners of toxic substances and become a vector for those substances in the environment. Notwithstanding their understanding of this accumulation, they have consistently opposed common sense measures around the world and across the country to address plastics, whether it's bans on plastic bags, the removal of plastic bottles from national parks. Generally, you know, the history of industry engagement on this issue is a history of obstruction.
So let's talk about this alliance now. You have this massive alliance that was announced January 16th by about more than 25 major corporations and headed by David Taylor, the president and CEO of Procter & Gamble, of all corporations. And they've rolled out a very fancy looking website, in many ways echoing some of those same concerns that environmental organizations have been saying for a long time, and they are claiming that they're going to tackle waste. What do you make of this alliance? I mean, it's at least, you know, at least it seems to be heading in the right direction. At least they're acknowledging the problem.
Well, I think there's one sense in which the alliance is very useful, and that is the sense in which through this alliance, you see major makers of plastic resins like ExxonMobil, Chevron, Shell, Total, acknowledging their stake in the plastics crisis. These are companies that, despite their critical role in producing plastics, have largely been invisible in the debate over plastics. And increasingly, they're recognizing that they can no longer hide from their role in plastics. And so, not being able to hide from their role in plastics, they're coming out in a safe space that industry has created to engage on the issue.
This is an interview given by Martin Brudermüller that I want to play for you and our audience. He co-founded the Global Alliance to End Plastic Waste, and he is the head of a European company named BASF. This is an interview that Martin Brudermüller gave when asked about the alliance.
Well, there's one very clear, straightforward target: end plastic waste. The alliance, which we just have started, contributes $1 billion to achieve this goal. And we even have the ambition to bring together $1.5 billion over the next 5 years to find solutions. I think this is a unique alliance because for the first time, we bring companies along the value chain, shoulder to shoulder together, to tackle the same problems. And this is great because right at the start, we have already around 30 companies, global companies, around different regions to come together in this alliance. Well, as a large producer of plastic materials, we are convinced how great these materials are. They contribute so much value to mankind in terms of convenience, safety, and health. And it would be simply very sad if the material and the quality of the material is discredited by not taking care until the end of the lifetime of the product. This is why we want to contribute as a member, and we're co-founding the alliance with our abilities and with innovation to find the right solutions to take care and to tackle the problem of waste and to find new solutions to dispose and reuse and recycle these materials.
And that is Martin Brudermüller, who co-founded the Global Alliance to End Plastic Waste, himself heading a company that creates and disseminates plastic products. My guest is Carol Muffett, who is the president and CEO of the Center for International Environmental Law. Carol, what do you make of what Martin Brudermüller said? It sounded like, as the producer of a plastics company, he wants to make sure his industry gets ahead of this issue before harsh regulations are put in place.
I think that there's something striking about what he said, and the fact that the person saying it is, as you said, a major producer of plastics. And if you look at the members of that alliance, Chevron, Shell, ExxonMobil, Dow Chemical, they have that, most of them, in common. They are major manufacturers of plastics and plastic resins. These are companies that have it within their control to address the problem of plastics at its source simply by reducing the amount of plastics that they produce and inject into the stream of commerce. And that, yet, if you look at his statement and if you look at the action items that this alliance put forward, those action items aren't about what the companies themselves are going to do. They're about actions that they're going to promote among other actors to get municipalities to manage their plastic waste better, to improve recycling pilot projects in places around the country, to promote additional recycling behavior or to make additional materials recyclable. Yet none of this goes to the root problem, that there is simply too much plastics in the economy and in the environment. And that is a problem these companies, were they committed to do so, could address much more directly simply by controlling their production of plastics. So, and I think this goes to the heart of what he was saying, which was that their goal in this initiative is to preserve the reputation of plastics. And I think that he hit the nail on the head.
Right. He sort of inadvertently admitted what his motivation is. Now, so it sounds as though this alliance to end plastic waste is much more focused on recycling plastic rather than reducing the production and use of plastic. What's the problem with that? If we, and of course, it feels really good for consumers to be sorting our waste. If we live in places where we have separate recycling bins, you feel like you're doing something with all this plastic, and you imagine that it's not going to end up in a landfill somewhere because it's going to be recycled and come back to you as new plastic. But what's the reality of plastics recycling?
Yeah, and that is precisely the problem, that difference between the way it makes you feel and what it really does for the world. The truth is that only a tiny fraction of all plastics in commerce are actually recycled. The latest figure is around 9% of all the plastics that are used are recycled. And many of the things that have that little triangle on them, once you throw them in the recycling bin, are in fact not economically recyclable in any way, which means they are just trash that has been stamped to make you feel like it's not trash. And that has the tendency to make consumers feel okay about doing something that is in fact just throwing an item away. And this goes to what we've seen with this industry over and over again, is that just as in the climate context, where many of these same actors are prominent, we've seen them again and again promote a narrative that the plastics crisis is driven by consumer choices and by consumer behavior, and that the way to solve this crisis is by increased recycling or waste management. The truth is, we cannot recycle our way out of plastics if the companies that drive the plastics economy are producing more and more plastics every year. If you look at the U.S. alone, the American Chemistry Council projects that companies like Exxon and Chevron and Shell are going to invest more than $200 billion in more than 300 new facilities over the next few years to produce more plastics and petrochemicals. And those facilities are going to, increase the amount of plastics produced by up to 40% in just the space of a few years. So the question becomes, if we're already not recycling enough plastic to solve the plastic crisis, how are we going to recycle enough plastic in the future to solve a crisis that's even bigger?
So the corporations would like to turn this all into consumer behavior, but by flooding the market with cheap plastic goods, that drives consumer behavior, doesn't it? I mean, there are so many other options to plastic that these corporations could rely on, but because plastic is cheap and it makes a lot of money, they have used it. And the source of that is, of course, the fossil fuel industry, right? Because we forget that plastic comes from oil, from petrochemicals, and we've had a fracking boom, not just in the United States but around the world, that has flooded the oil market with a lot of oil. Has that also fueled plastic production?
It has. More than 90% of the content of plastics is fossil fuels, oil and gas feedstocks. And what we've seen is that in the U.S. particularly, the expansion of fracking and the natural gas boom that has been driven by fracking has made natural gas incredibly cheap. And to make use of all that natural gas, we're seeing these companies invest in ever more capacity to produce ever more plastics. And like you said, this is an industry that, to a greater extent than any other industry I'm aware of, supply really drives demand rather than demand driving supply. This is an industry the entire industry was created because plastics producers in the wake of World War II had more plastics than they knew what to do with, and thus began looking for ways to promote consumption of plastics among U.S. consumers. And the truth is, even informed consumers in the U.S., where they have access to information, access to resources, and a relative diversity of choices, have a really hard time getting disposable plastics out of their lives. When you begin to look outside the U.S. at all of the places where plastics are the only way to get, materials that people depend on, you start to understand that there's really very little choice at all in what these companies are calling consumer choice.
Right. And it's not to say that plastic isn't useful. In the medical industry, and, are you hoping that a future where we can tackle this, really tackle this issue of plastic pollution, production and waste, plastic would be considered a precious material used judiciously for human benefit rather than flooding our planet and getting into our own bloodstream?
I think that I would love to get to a place where plastics were so rare in the economy that they were considered a precious material. Mm. The truth is, most of the plastics that pass through our lives are unsolicited. They are often invisible, and they come through our hands and through our lives and right out the door again without us ever really being aware of them. It is true that there are some uses for plastics for which we don't currently have substitutes, but those are in the gross minority of cases. the, you know, more and more of the plastics that we see moving through the economy are used to make products prettier, to make them more convenient, or simply to make them easier to handle for those who are selling them.
So you have a situation where these corporations are trying to get ahead of regulations. Your organization is an international organization. What sort of regulations do these corporations face outside of the U.S. and what do they face inside the U.S.? The companies involved in this alliance to end plastic waste are global corporations. I imagine their European regulations might be a little bit stricter on plastic use and waste than Americans ones, or am I mistaken in that?
The European regulations are in fact much stricter, and the EU recently adopted a new directive that will phase out a wide array of single-use plastics over the next few years, dramatically transforming the market in the European Union.
Do you think that's why this alliance was even formed, because of the fear of such regulation?
That's one piece of the puzzle. But the truth is, the industry is increasingly seeing efforts like this across the United States and around the world. Countries across Africa adopting bans on plastic bags. You mentioned the adoption of bans on plastic microbeads here in the U.S. Initiatives in California and elsewhere to regulate different categories of plastics. And if you look internationally, the United Nations Environment Assembly is meeting in March to consider whether we should begin negotiations on a global treaty to address the plastics crisis. And right after the United Nations Environment Assembly meets, another global convention, the Basel Convention on Transboundary Shipments of Hazardous Waste, will meet to consider for the first time whether they should list categories of waste plastics as a hazardous waste. So the realities facing this industry are finally and at long last changing, and they're changing really rapidly. And it's unsurprising in the face of that, that those companies that produce plastics are looking for ways to shift responsibility to other actors, municipalities, consumers, and particularly to shift the focus from the responsibilities here in the U.S. and Europe, where these decisions are made and where the plastics are produced, to, you know, communities across Asia and around the world, where literally the choices are far more limited, and where much of the waste that those countries have seen show up in their environment began its life here in the U.S.
So, Carol, you and I are speaking at a time when Andrew Wheeler is facing a Senate confirmation hearing to head the Environmental Protection Agency. He's a former coal and natural gas lobbyist. The issue of climate change has come up during his confirmation hearings, but I'm not sure if plastics and plastic waste has come up. This is the organization here in the United States where you would see enforcement of regulations on plastic use and waste and pollution, right?
That's correct. And if you look below the political level, there are many, you know, there are many longtime staff within the Environmental Protection Agency that work to do the right thing, but they are constrained by a system of rules that has been dominated by industry actors for a very long time. And that situation will only get worse under Andrew Wheeler, just as it's been worse progressively under the Trump administration. So we are not looking to the Trump administration for solutions to this problem. The truth and the reality for the plastics producers, however, is that the Trump administration won't be, you know, the final say on whether we address the plastics crisis.
How should this alliance to end plastic waste be viewed by ordinary people? Because this is basically greenwashing, right? Just to put it bluntly. I haven't seen very much critical media coverage of this corporate-led effort to tackle plastic waste and pollution. Are you hoping that that media will expose what seems to be a very different agenda that this alliance is putting forward?
I think that it is very convenient for a large number of companies that actually produce plastics resins and plastics, you know, plastic products to, you know, say that the real solutions to this problem lie not with us, but with municipalities and communities around the world. And I think any good reporter looking at this should ask the question, well, what are you doing at home and what are you doing in your boardroom to solve this crisis where it begins?
Right. I mean, what are you doing to just start reducing the use, the production and use of plastics, rather than just tackling the issue of waste through recycling projects? And as you said earlier, a lot of their action items are based on working with local municipalities to just better manage waste. Where can people find out more information about plastic pollution, about critical coverage of this particular alliance? Can you give out a website for your organization, Carol?
I absolutely will, and I'll take the opportunity to give out two. The first is our own website. I'm at the Center for International Environmental Law, and we are at www.ciel.org. But we're only one of more than 800 organizations globally that are working to address the plastics crisis everywhere, and starting at where the plastics are produced and looking at how it's managed. And that organization is called Break Free From Plastics. You can go to hashtag Break Free From Plastics, and I would encourage people to check out the amazing work that all those organizations are doing.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Carol, for joining us today. Good luck in your work.
Thank you very much.
Carol Muffett is the president and CEO of the Center for International Environmental Law. We've been discussing the corporate-led effort to tackle plastic waste called the Alliance to End Plastic Waste, which was just announced January 16th. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and now Instagram at RU with Sonali.